I also want to ask you, if you would please, to keep your songbooks handy this evening, as we're going to be singing a few songs tonight throughout the sermon. Singing is a very important part of our worship to God. James 5:13 talks about, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. And I often find myself singing songs of praise to the Lord throughout the day from time to time, and I know that you do that too. That's a wonderful thing. But the Lord has also commanded that we sing as a church, that we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. And when we couple that with Colossians 3:16 and 17, we learn that we're doing these things to praise the Lord, but we're also singing for the purpose of teaching and admonishing one another. And so it's important that our hearts are in the song, that we try to understand the words of what we're singing. Don't just get caught up in the beauty of the melody, although there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure the Lord intended that, otherwise He would have never commanded singing. But there is that emotional aspect that's stirred up when we sing and when words are put to music. But let's not let the words get lost in the music. Let's remember the words, focus on the words, and understand them. Paul said, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. And so this evening, as we sing a few different songs, we're going to follow a theme. Our theme tonight is going to be Jesus and me. Jesus and me. In the first place, regarding Jesus and me, I want to suggest to you that I must serve Him. I must serve Jesus. Now there's a song number 455, and I remember as a very young man, teenager, this was one of my very favorite songs, Take My Hand and Lead Me. And really this song is a prayer. It's a prayer. Remember when Paul and Silas were in prison and they sang into midnight? If you follow the Greek there, it literally means they sang prayers. They were singing prayers. Many of the songs we have are singing prayers. And this particular song talks about a desire, expresses a desire to have the Lord lead. Take my hand and lead me. Number 455.
I want to live, dear Lord, for Thee. Oh, keep me every day a faithful servant. Let me be. Rugged way.
psalmist in Psalm 25 and verses 4 and 5. And that, if you notice in your psalm book, that is the reference that is given for that psalm. The psalmist said there, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Now here are some words that folks need to take to heart in our modern day and time. Because I want to suggest to you that there are many out there, and I do not doubt that many of them are very sincere, and they would say they have given their hand to Jesus to lead them. And they are striving to serve Him in every way. And yet they are following a so-called plan of salvation that is devised and has been made very popular by man. Well, the psalmist says here, "You are the God of my salvation." Now, if God is the God of our salvation, and we're saying to God, and we're saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Take my hand and lead me," then why is it when we sit down from plain passages of Scripture of things the Lord said and show it to them, and they disagree with it? They don't want anything to do with it. Mark 16 and verse 16, where the Lord said very plainly, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." You show folks that passage and they get angry. Folks that sincerely from their heart believe they love the Lord. And Acts 22:16 is another one I quote all the time, where Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Another plain, clear passage that teaches us that you can't be saved until you're baptized. Not that there's something inherently magical about water, but God has simply commanded that we be baptized to have our sins washed away. And it's at that point that we connect with the blood of Christ. But then, of course, after we are baptized and after we are added to Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, we must then continue to strengthen our faith and to really demonstrate our faith by works. You know, in James chapter 2, James strenuously refutes this idea of faith only service or faith only salvation. A lot of people overlook that, but he does. And he says there in James 2 verse 13, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace and be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." In verse 18, and that's what I really wanted here. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" If we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully, if I'm going to do that, I must demonstrate my faith with good works. After all, in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, Paul taught very plainly that I have been created in Christ for a purpose. He said there, for good works. Titus 2, 14, "The Lord Jesus redeemed us from our lawless deeds, shed His precious blood for us, died on the cross for us, that we might be zealous for good works." And so if I'm going to serve Him, I need to come to Him on His terms with His plan of salvation. And then I need to continue to serve Him faithfully in my life. Number 504 is a common song. We sing it regularly. And it's one that expresses a desire to be a worker for the Lord. Many years ago, I was making a point about lying. And I may have done it since. But I pointed out once that, you know, you speak a lie, you can live a lie, and you can also sing a lie, can't you? Can you sing a lie? And we're going to sing a song that says, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." Do we? Do we really want to be a worker, or do we want to be a shirker? Do we really want to be zealous for the good works of Christ? Or do we want to fight and argue that we can just do enough to get by. I just want to do enough to slip into heaven. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to serve Him with everything I've got. Number 504, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord.
And so when I talk about Jesus in me, in the first place, I serve Him. I will serve Him. Number two, not only will I serve Him, but I will share Him. Share Him. Number 544, send the light. Number 544, send the light. Another oldie but a goodie, one that we've sang many times over the years, and the message that it expresses is the idea of sharing the gospel with others so that the lost may be saved. Number 544, send the light.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless way. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And the golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And the Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore.
sing the Lord, the blessed gospel, my, let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love, sing the Lord, sing the Lord. Let us gather jewels for a crown above, sing the Lord, sing the Lord, sing the Lord, the blessed gospel, let it shine from shore to shore. Sing the Lord, the blessed gospel, let it shine forevermore.
When Jesus was beginning his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, Matthew records these words in verse 15. Let's read verse 14 first. It says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What a wonderful blessing when Jesus came to the world. He came to his own received him not, but he brought great light to the Gentiles, those who weren't his own. Now, many Jews were saved eventually when they repented and obeyed. But what a wonderful thing that Jesus is the light of the world, as he proclaimed in one place. I am the light of the world. Jesus is truly the light of the world. He came to bring the saving message. Remember his discussion with the woman at the well? Now they talked about spiritual things, and he used everyday things to turn it into a spiritual conversation, and she came to believe that he was the Messiah. It's interesting what she did when she left him. In John 4, verse 28, it says, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. You see how she sent the light? She went into the city and began to tell people about the Lord, and we're told that people came to believe in him specifically because she did that. Now, how often do we try to send the light? Remember Mark 1, 43 to 45, when Jesus healed that leper and he warned him strictly to go out and tell no one? Well, what did he do? He went out and told everybody. Well, he tells us to go out and tell everybody. What do some of us do? We go out and tell nobody. Now, we need to be diligent in sending the light so that the lost may be saved. In Acts chapter 4, 19 and 20, the apostles said, we can't but to speak the things we have seen and heard. In Acts 8, 1 to 4, again, those persecuted Christians went everywhere preaching the word. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, the Hebrew writer kind of gets on to those folks there, because by this time you ought to be teachers. You have come to need milk and not solid food. They are unskilled in the word of righteousness still. They should have grown to the point that they can teach others. That's what we need to do. And the indication there is we should grow to the point that we can teach others. Another song that we've sang for many years, Into Our Hands. And this song really reflects the truth that is taught in the gospel, that God has chosen the mode of men teaching the gospel to save the lost. And so literally, into our hands, the gospel is given. Now, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to share it to help save the lost? The third stanza, souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice our sins are forgiven. Did he not also die for these lost ones?
then let us point the way into heaven. Potent words. Let's sing number 616, Into Our Hands.
Swiftly we're turning life's steady pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moment? Shall we be glory? Shall we be tears? Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands it given the Lord. Haste, let us carry that precious message, guiding the airy back to the rod. Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's God. Shall we sit idly as they wash onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ the true blood. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands it given the Lord. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the rod. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice, our sins are forgiven. Maybe not also died for these lost ones. Then let us point the way unto heaven. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands it given the Lord. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right.
Jesus and me, I will serve him, I will share him, and finally, I will see him. Do you really desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you express what that song number 566 expresses when it says, "Oh, I want to see him"? Number 556. Would he want to see you? Would you really want him to see you right now? You ever been sitting around at home, you hadn't fixed yourself up, nothing done, boy, I hope nobody comes to the door, I'd hate for somebody to see me right now. How about your spiritual life? How's it? I'd sure hate for the Lord to see me right now. You ought to always live that the Lord would be delighted to see you and that you would be delighted to see him. Oh, I want to see him. Number 556.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but the Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex the soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys now I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, with a tender act outstretched toward the valley's low. Guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Oh, I want to see Him. Consider that scene in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. There are a few accounts of the Lord's ascension. And here the Lord was speaking with His apostles, those closest and dearest to Him. And while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven. Every eye will see Him when He returns. Do your eyes want to see Him? The apostles' eyes did, I guarantee you. I mean, just look at the way they lived and how zealous they were after Jesus' ascension, death, burial, and resurrection ascension, as opposed to before. I mean, I really see a great improvement there in knowledge and zeal and understanding and maturity, particularly on the part of Peter. You see, I believe that when they were watching Jesus ascend up into heaven, they remembered a promise He had very recently made to them back in John 14. And He said in the first few verses, let not your hearts be troubled. And then He told them about how He was going to go up into heaven. He's going to ascend to the Father. And He said, In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As they stood there watching the Lord Jesus ascend unto heaven, that first promise was being fulfilled before their eyes. Jesus said, I go. And in seeing that first promise fulfilled so clearly before their eyes, that second promise had to come to mind. And if I go, I'll come again. And I'll receive you to myself. And there's that great incentive to go out and preach that gospel like they did. Oh, they wanted to see Him. Because they knew that when He come again, He was coming to get them. And to take them to heaven with Him. I love that statement John made in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And what a glorious, magnificent picture that must be when we see the Lord Jesus revealed from heaven on the last day to welcome His saints home. And not to go with Him into heaven in these old bodies of clay that get sick and suffer and hurt and die. But in a glorious body. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent," talking about this old body, "is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from above, to be immortally arrayed." And John said, "You shall be like Him." And Paul said, "We'll have a body that is fit for eternity." Number 235 is a beautiful song. I freely admit I don't lead it well, but I love to sing it. It's called "Immortally Arrayed." Immortally Arrayed. And it expresses this thought of what we'll be like when the Lord Jesus returns and we see Him and He brings us home to heaven. We'll be immortally arrayed. Number 235, "Immortally Arrayed."
When life on earth for me is past, O Savior, take my hand. Lord, grant that I might firmly stand upon the golden strand. For soon my journey here must end, my earthly life must fade. Lord, grant that I might then ascend, immortally arrayed. When I shall cease to walk life's road, let me come home to Thee. Take me into Thy blessed abode, to dwell eternally. For soon my journey here must end, my earthly life must fade. Lord, grant that I might then ascend, immortally arrayed.
Blessing to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have some wonderful relationships with others in this life, but you'll never have one like the Lord Jesus. We're told in the Old Testament there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, Jesus said that you have no greater friend than one who lays down his life for you. And that's what Jesus has done. Sometimes we sing a song, "I'll be a friend to Jesus." You will be His friend. He says there in the next verse, you will be his friend if you keep his commandments. Jesus and me, if I will serve him, if I will share him, one day I will see him. Let's pray.